to it, but every Christian here today, every one of us should desire not only to survive as Christians, but also to thrive in our relationship with God. We should strive and thrive in living for the glory of God. But what does this thriving entail? Well, obviously, it means that we ought to be developing as children of God. We certainly should be growing as disciples of Christ. We should be bearing fruit for the glory of God. We should be being effective as a church family. We should certainly be succeeding as Christians in a lost world. Amen. But friends, listen to me very carefully. Time is precious. Time is precious, and we are not here very long. So how can we make the most of the time that we have? Well, we can make the most of the time that we have left by making the most of our walk with God. But sadly, many people, even many Christians, seem to live carelessly, not giving a second thought day in and day out to their relationship with God. But one day, friend, they will. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
One day they will, for we all will stand before the Lord our God. And you're either going to do it as a believer, or you're going to stand before God as an unbeliever. The question that demands an answer this morning is this: will God be your heavenly Father who will receive you as a forgiven child? Or will God be your judge who will expel you into eternal punishment? To make the most of your walk with God, it is vital, friend, that you know the right answer to that question. Because the answer only comes through Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you don't have a relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, He's not your heavenly Father. See, apart from Christ, we can have no walk with God. Apart from Christ, friend, we can have no saving relationship with God. So, friend, if you have not received God's saving grace today, I urge you not to hesitate, but to come to Jesus today before you leave this building. He's ready to receive you this very day. However, if you're already a child of God and you know it, that's good news. But if you're already a child of God, I want to urge you this morning to make the most of your walk with God. Don't be a careless Christian who lives day after day with no thought of a deeper walk with your Savior and your Lord. Don't settle, friend, for I know nothing, I feel nothing, I want nothing, I desire nothing kind of faith. Want more than that. I mean, you know what? If I felt that way about my relationship with God, I'd sincerely question if I was a believer. If I could live as a careless Christian, and I didn't want to know more about Christ, and I didn't want more of God's presence in my life, then I would question if I was saved. If I could live as a careless Christian, just meandering day after day without a thought of God in my life, I would have to wonder where I stand with Him. In Psalm chapter 1, we who profess to be the people of God are encouraged to seek a deeper, more profound, productive walk with God. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 1, I'm going to share the six verses there that I believe, if you'll let them, will change your life. In verse 1, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, the wheat dust, if you will, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not be able to stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Right out of the gate, we find that the person who is seeking this deeper walk with God is called blessed. Other words for blessed are happy, successful. If you want to thrive in your relationship with God, do what this person is doing. So how can we make our walk with God thrive? Amen. Well, to make your walk with God thrive, you need to look at three different directions while asking three different questions. The first direction is this: look around and ask yourself, how am I being influenced? Look around and ask yourself, how am I being influenced? Friend, day after day, you and I are being influenced in one of two ways. You're either being influenced with a godly influence or with an ungodly influence. It's one of the two. So what we need to do is look around and ask ourselves the question, what am I allowing into my life to influence me, to influence my life? What am I allowing into my life to shape who I am and mold who I am as a believer and a child of God? Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that there are plenty of ungodly influences out there. Verse 1 speaks of that. In verse 1, the psalmist said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Have you ever noticed, friend, that you don't have to teach kids how to be disobedient? Some of you parents say amen. You ain't got to teach kids to be disobedient. They do that pretty well on their own. Amen. But listen to me. We must beware of ungodly influences because it can get worse. It can get worse. We're influenced by junk in our dysfunctional families. We're influenced by junk in our public schools. We're influenced by junk on our godless TVs. And man, online influences can be the absolute worst. This psalmist brings to light several stages, if you will, that can directly affect how we can be influenced by ungodliness. First, check out what he said. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. When you're walking, walking speaks of a direction you're headed. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. When you're seeking direction in life, there's a lot of ungodly advice you must avoid. People seek advice in all kinds of places. People these days seek advice from horoscopes, from psychics, from talk shows. They seek advice from Google. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Raise it up. Let me see it. Listen to me. For the most part, it's an ungodly influence. You can't pick out what's godly and ungodly when you read it. You got to be careful with that. And when we go in the direction of the world, worldly wisdom, and we begin to ignore godly wisdom, for the most part, it's ungodly, and we are setting ourselves up for failure. So your walk with God can't thrive, friend, if you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. But the next step is standing in the path of sinners. Standing. When we seek advice from ungodly places, inevitably, you will move from consulting with the ungodly to identifying with the ungodly. See, when you stand, it speaks of how and who you're identifying with. By standing in the path of sinners, you're not really opposing their viewpoint, you're kind of hanging out with them. By standing in the path of sinners, sometimes you may even embrace what they say and how they say it. At first, you walk to the ungodly just to listen to what they have to say, just to hear them out, right? But then if you don't walk back to where you know you should be, then you just stand there where they stand. It's just a matter of time where you begin to identify with their position. But listen, they ain't but one position. One position is worth having, and that's God's position. So if it's not godly influence, we need to turn around and flee and go the other way. Abraham Lincoln said, "My concern is not if God is on our side." He said, "My greatest concern is that we are on God's side because God's always right." Well, I tell you what, we ought to put that one in our pocket and wear it all week long, shouldn't we? Don't stand in the path of sinners. But notice the final stage. The psalmist says, sitting in the seat of the scornful or the seat of the mockers. Well, when you're sitting, that speaks of resting. You're kind of relaxed. You're not exerting much energy, except you're listening like crazy. Somebody say amen. You're sitting, and it speaks of a resting place. See, at first you walked around ungodly influence. And then you began to stand around ungodly influence. And then if you're not careful, you'll sit down and rest with the ungodly. You'll sit down and adopt ungodly counsel. So we need to look around. And we need to ask ourselves, how am I being influenced? You may say, "Well, TV doesn't influence me, Bill." And I'd say to you, "Well, maybe it doesn't, but probably it does." And why do I say that? I say that because I know for a fact that millions, no, billions of dollars are spent annually in advertising. Why? Because they want to influence you. They want to influence you. Advertising has an influence on what kind of cereal you eat, what kind of toothpaste you use, and what kind of truck you buy. Here's the deal. We are influenced by what we see. It's the nature of the beast. So look around and ask yourself, how am I being influenced? Much of it is ungodly. However, there is also the flip side of the coin, which is the godly influence. It's a godly influence that's available to us out there too. Listen to what verse 2 says. But his delight, the blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You see, the person who is thriving in his walk with God is blessed because he surrounds himself with godly influence. Godly influence. How does he do that, Bill? Well, first of all, according to the psalmist, he delights himself in the word of God. He delights in the Word of God. Friend, your appetite for the Lord, your appetite for the Word of God can become dull when you're influenced by or tasting too much of the world. So if you're looking to thrive in your relationship with God, you got to get back to the Word. If you're looking to thrive and make the most of your walk with God, you've got to get back to the Word of God. And then after you get back, you got to keep allowing it to speak to you day in and day out. Because until you do that, you'll never get to where you want to be with the Lord. To be exposed to godly influence, the first place you got to do is you got to start delighting in the Word of God. Start making it a passion. But there's also something else you must do, because you can't stop there. You must also, according to the psalmist, meditate on the Word of God. See, it's not enough just for you to read the words. That doesn't make much sense. Just to read the words of the Bible. Some of these passages have got to be able to get into your thinking. Some of these passages have got to be able to get into who you are, your being. They've got to get into you and allow them to shape your thoughts. See, to thrive in your walk with God, it's going to involve a little bit more than just a daily devo that you get on your phone. That's a great start, but don't finish there. It's a great start, but you've got to dive into the Word of God. You've got to dive into something more than just a casual reading through the Word of God. You've got to meditate on the Word of God. See, there are truths in this book that truly have to be internalized. There are truths in this book that might even need to be memorized, so that when you're going through the fire, and you are, if you're not now, you're gonna. So you have to be able to internalize these truths, memorize these truths, so when the fire comes, you've got yourself a fire extinguisher. Amen? You can stand in the fire of life. In a world where constant influences try to steer us in the wrong way, how can we be rightfully influenced? By the Word of God. By the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible said it this way. How can a young man cleanse his way? Here it comes. Say amen if you're ready. Amen. Here we go. Taking heed to the Word of God. You see, you start with delighting in the Word of God, and then you move to meditating and internalizing the Word of God, but you can't stop there, because then you got to obey. Take heed of the Word of God, for it to change your life and draw you close into a relationship that thrives like you're wanting. So to thrive in your relationship with God, look around. Look around and see how you're being influenced. Is it ungodly or is it godly? You know the answer to that when you analyze it. But there's a second direction. We also must look inside. We also must look inside and ask the question, who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? When we're influenced, what we're influenced by determines what our character becomes. You see how these two are so intricately important? Not only what you're influenced by, but what you're becoming. You got to look inside your heart. You got to look inside here, y'all. Look at me. You got to look inside here. That's where you really live. Amen? This is where you really live. Okay? Everything that you do, that's what people see. But this is where you really live. Right here in your heart. Ask yourself, what kind of person am I becoming? What kind of person am I becoming? Man, church, man, I was struck last Wednesday. Because when we started talking about integrity, that speaks about who am I becoming. We discovered that integrity is who we are when nobody's looking. Integrity. The person who delights and meditates on the Word of God will become like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and they will be found a true source of joy. A true source of joy. And then they're able to thrive in their relationship with God. If you're thriving, it'll show in three ways. First, if you're thriving in your relationship with God, you'll be fruitful. The psalmist said, he brings forth fruit in its season. You'll be a fruitful person. Bill, what is a fruitful person? Well, a fruitful person is someone who's helpful to be around. You ever met those kind of people? Man, they're just helpful to be around. They always want to help you, right? If you're fruitful, you're one of those kinds of people who encourages people. You ever met them? And they're just all the time lifting you up. They're encouraging you. If you're fruitful, they're somehow strengthening you. You ever feel more bold because you're hanging out around some specific person? They strengthen you. They open your eyes and they help you understand things of eternal significance, like Jesus. You know those people that you hang around with and you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that before you're done talking to them, you're going to hear Jesus. Amen. I pray I'm that man. Do you bring forth fruit? But the psalmist said there's a second way, and that is they're also enduring. His leaf shall also not wither. No matter whether the winds are hot and the water is absent, this person endures. Why? Because he's planted by the rivers of water. Where's the water come from? Right here. That's your water. While others wither away, this guy is strong and vibrant in his faith. He's fruitful and he's enduring, but he's also prosperous. The psalmist said, whatever he does shall prosper. Now, friend, does that mean that if you're delighting and meditating in the Word of God, if you're thriving in your relationship with God, that you're going to be rich? I can testify to that. No. Does that mean that you're going to have a big fat bank account? A great stock portfolio? Does it mean you're going to have no financial problems? No, it doesn't mean any of those things, but I'll tell you what it does mean. If you delight and meditate on the Word of God, you'll be like a tree and you will prosper. You will prosper. But we need to understand what prosper means, don't we? Psalm 73, verse 12, the Bible says, behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. See, the biggest problem with the riches of the ungodly is they don't last. When this life is done, so are their riches. It blows away like the dust off the wheat. But then in Psalm 73, 17, we read, until I went to the sanctuary of God, aha, then I understood their end. See, it's in the sanctuary of God that we learn some things. It's in the sanctuary of God that we learn that true prosperity has nothing to do with earthly riches. Somebody say amen. True prosperity is being anchored in the Word of God. True prosperity is allowing the Word of God to shape who you are into who you're becoming. The Word of God, true prosperity, is what makes your relationship with God thrive. God gave us some insight to those who focus on earthly prosperity. He said in that verse, you haven't seen their end yet. You haven't seen their end yet. And then in the last four words of Psalm chapter 1, we read, the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly shall perish, and any so-called prosperity they think they got. See, for the believer, this world is the only hell they will ever see or experience. But for the unbeliever, this world is the only heaven they'll ever know. So look around. How are you being influenced? And then look inside and ask yourself, who am I becoming? And finally, you got to look ahead. You got to look ahead and ask yourself, how will I be judged? In verse 5, the Bible says, therefore the ungodly shall not be able to stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, one way or another, friend, listen very carefully today. One way or another, the Lord will judge every single person in this room. Did you know that? In other words, judgment day is coming. You say, Bill, I'm a Christian. My sins are forgiven. That's great news. Does that mean you're not going to be judged? No, it does not. Look ahead. Will you be judged amongst the ungodly? At the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 20, John tells us that he saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. See, at the great white throne judgment, the ungodly won't have a leg to stand on. No hope whatsoever. They've made all kinds of excuses of why they're not going to worship God in church. They've made all kinds of excuses why they can't be saved today. They've made all kinds of excuses why they can't bring themselves to trust Christ for salvation. Excuses, excuses, excuses. But on that day, there will no longer be any excuses as they stand before the all-knowing eyes of God. Will you be judged amongst the ungodly? If not, that's a good thing. But if not, how will you be judged amongst the godly? Paul wrote to a church of believers in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And he wrote to those believers saying, for we must all appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. This judgment determines rewards for service rendered to Jesus. This judgment determines rewards for service rendered after you trust Christ. This judgment refers to rewards rendered to those who have served the Lord after they were saved from sin's penalty. Can I ask you this? How's that looking for you? When you appear, as Paul said, when we all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and he weighs the way you lived after you were saved, what's that judgment going to look like for you? What kind of rewards might be given to you? Friend, in heaven, there will only be one congregation. One congregation. One pure, holy, godly congregation of redeemed sinners washed in the blood of the Lamb. Period. Verse 5 says there won't be any sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Man, I tell you what, if I wasn't in that congregation of the righteous today, man, I'd do business with Jesus today. I wouldn't walk out of here thinking, well, maybe. Maybe I am, or maybe I'm not. I'd look ahead and I'd ask myself, how am I going to be judged? Will I be judged with the ungodly? or the godly. Verse 6 said, the Lord knows the ways of the righteous. He knows. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. See, the ungodly have their own way, and it's called this. I'm going to do as I please. I'm going to do as I please. You see, your destiny, your eternity, it's not determined by a flip of the coin. It's not determined by chances. It's determined by your choices. Who are you placing your faith in? One who wants to do as he pleases? Or the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you? The only way, friend, to become righteous and stand before God, the only way that you can become part of this righteous congregation is for you to place your trust and your faith in a perfect sacrifice given by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross for you. There is no other way. And if you say, Bill, I'm so glad I got that settled. I'm good. I'm thankful for that. But still, we must ask these questions and look in these directions. We must look around to see how we're being influenced. Because millions are being spent to influence you in ungodly ways. We must also look inside and say, okay, Bill, who are you becoming? Just living a careless Christian life? Going with the flow day in and day out? Not really considering anything of your relationship with God? Not really desiring to thrive? Who are you becoming? And all that's important because every human being on this planet ought to be looking ahead. Because every person on this planet is going to be judged either with the ungodly or with the godly. And your eternity is not determined by chance, but by your choice. Don't leave here not having made that decision. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for not leaving us to our own. I don't want to do as I please anymore. Father, I want to be your child, your servant, your instrument, your conduit of blessing. I choose today, Father, to look around and be very careful of how I'm influenced. Lord, I choose today to look within and to analyze carefully how and whom I'm becoming. I'd be a fool, Lord, if I didn't look ahead to see how I'd be judged. Lord, for the ungodly, no hope. For the godly, a living hope that begins the minute they're saved. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here who's ready to make that choice, Father, they would not hesitate, and they wouldn't just leave here to go and do this week like they did last week. Lord, let it be different. Lord, let us all desire to thrive in our relationship with you. Jesus said, I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly. To thrive in their relationship with God. So Lord, whatever and whoever and however, you want to draw someone to yourself today, Lord, I pray that during this decision time, Lord, somebody might make a decision, a choice to be judged with the and not the alternative. And we're going to pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, stand with me and let's pray to the Lord.